Good morning. Thank you so much for joining with us online this morning. We are truly blessed that you are with us this morning, wherever you are. In this message this morning, we're going to be looking at hearing God, hearing His voice. And we need to consider that if we are to hear God, then we need to be truly near God. Let me say that again. If we are to hear God individually and personally, then we need to be near Him in our relationship with Him. And I trust that's you and I this morning, even as the old hymn declares, "Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee." So could you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we will read a few verses from there in a moment. And this morning we're continuing in the series of messages that I've been preaching on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And at the moment, we're specifically looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in the church that Jesus said that He would build. And we've seen previously that the Holy Spirit is the advocate for Christ, which means that the Holy Spirit represents Jesus to believers and also to the church. And we see in John 16, 13 and 14, and speaking about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father was to send, Jesus says that He, the Holy Spirit, will disclose to the people of God, to believers, what is to come. And that He, the Holy Spirit, will take of what is of Christ and He will reveal those things to us. And so it's important that we learn to hear the voice of Christ through the Holy Spirit, individually and collectively. It's important that we learn to hear God's voice in the midst of all of the other voices that are going on around us, including our own. And certainly, each of us must want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. We must desire to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So my prayer is that we would be those who choose, make a choice even today, to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church that Jesus said that He would build. And so here we are, John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." And further down in verse 22 to 27, "At that time, the feast of dedication, which we know as Hanukkah or Hanukkah, took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around Him and were saying to Him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep.'" And then He says very powerfully, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So the question is not, does God speak to His people today? The questions are, firstly, are we listening? And then secondly, are we discerning about what we are hearing? Are we discerning so that what we are hearing in each instance is the Holy Spirit and not our own imaginations or what we want to hear, or rather some other voice that is not the Holy Spirit? We need to understand most importantly that in warning about these last days, Jesus specifically warns about false prophets and false teachers. He said they would lead many astray, and they would do so by declaring that what they are speaking actually comes from God, where in fact their words are falsehood, error, and deception. So we need to be discerning about what we hear. Interestingly, false prophets speaking out of their own hearts, declaring that they're actually speaking the word of the Lord, is not just a last day's issue. We see this in the Old Testament, for example, in Jeremiah 23:16, where God says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination. not from the mouth of the Lord. What a powerful statement that is. And that is one of the great dangers where we speak out of our own hearts. And sometimes we can do so out of genuine concern for someone or simply because we want to be an encourager. And we speak out of our own hearts rather than speaking the word of the Lord, and we can lead people into a place of futility, a place of holding on to vain hopes, or as one translation says concerning false words, we can speak things that actually make people act foolishly. So our journey in the next two messages will be firstly, are we listening to God so as to hear him speaking to us? And then secondly, are we discerning about what we are hearing? And then thirdly, are we being wise in God with what we hear and how we deal with his word to us? So firstly then, and I ask this question of myself as I ask it of you, are we actually listening so as to hear God speak to us? Do we really believe that God desires to speak to us individually? Do you believe that he desires to speak to you? And again, do you truly believe that you can hear him when he does speak to you? And please, I'm asking each and every one of us these questions, no matter how young or how old you may be. Are you listening to hear God speak to you? Do you truly believe that he desires to speak to you? And do you truly believe that you can hear him when he speaks? Friends, the clear teaching of Scripture is that God desires to speak with each of his children. The clear teaching of Scripture is that he sent the Holy Spirit to be in us and with us, to outwork our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, to lead us, to guide us, to direct our steps, to show us great and mighty things that we haven't known. So firstly, as those who are listening, we must be convinced that God wants to speak to each of us personally. We must be convinced that in Christ we have a spiritual capacity to hear when God speaks to us. Now, my personal conviction, and one born out of experience, is that a lot of believers somehow feel that God doesn't or that God won't communicate with them. So many people seem to think that they look at others and they hear how God apparently communicates with them, and I'm using that word apparently deliberately, and yet they feel that God doesn't speak to them in the same way, so the perception is that God doesn't want to speak to them or that they can't hear. We hear people today say, God told me, or God showed me, and there is an impression given that God speaks with some people either in an audible voice or in a way that others have never experienced, certainly in a way that I have never experienced. People say, God told me, God showed me, the Lord revealed to me. And in preparing this message, I thought about the times recently where I've spoken about the Lord showing me to preach a message different from what I had intended. And I've shared about how I started down one track and the Lord led me to bring a different message partway through. And I wonder if I've actually conveyed something that I didn't intend to convey, so that the perception created was of God actually speaking to me about these things. Peter, I want you to stop going this way because there is a different path that I want you to go down. I wonder whether I've, by default, given an impression that God has come and tapped me on the shoulder, that he's woken me in the early hours and said, Peter, preach something different. There is a different pathway. The truth is, friends, God has never, ever spoken to me in an audible voice. And in those times when I've changed the message I was going to preach, that has come after hours and hours of struggling with myself, struggling with what I was working on, not seeing it fitting together, wrestling with various thoughts and directions and ideas, and not finding any peace in what I was doing. And then only making a change when there was a peace in my heart to do so, only making a change when there was a settled conviction that this was what the Lord was requiring of me, rather than continuing in what I was doing. Never because God had spoken to me in a specific or audible way. And I'm sorry if I've inadvertently conveyed something different. I'm sorry if I've conveyed the impression that God has spoken to me orderly or specifically, that somehow there's been this discussion that I've had with God. The truth is that after years of doing this, I finally learnt to recognize the sweet nudging of the Holy Spirit. I've come to learn how to respond when he stirs my heart in some way, when things aren't going the way that I would like, and in those times I actually have chosen to listen. Now, sometimes I wish it was easier, that God would simply come and stand by me at my desk and lay everything out before me, so I was simply just responding as he spoke words into my heart. But there is something important in wrestling with the truth of Scripture. There is something that is worked into a believer, into our hearts, into our spirits. When we submit to God and when we work through things with him, when we allow him to mold us and nudge us in certain ways, rather than him doing it all for us and setting it all out before us. We grow spiritually. We grow in God by working through things in him, just as our children grow and mature when they learn for themselves rather than us as parents spoon-feeding them and doing it all for them. And friends, the truth is that God often gets blamed for apparently saying things that he has never said. And yet people state, God told me, the Lord said. And one of the difficult things in walking with people over the years, especially when we're trying to see people come into a place of liberty or to see things restored in people's lives, is that you really get to a dead end. You can't go any further when they simply say, well, God showed me, the Lord said. It's like there's nothing else I can say. Nothing can be said. Apart from, are you sure? Which can be a very dangerous path to go down when someone has said to you, well, God told me, and the Lord said, and it's like that's the end of the discussion. So again, God often gets blamed for apparently saying things that he has never said. And certainly the proliferation of false prophecies and other words from the Lord that I have been given over the years is a testament to that sad truth. Some years ago, I was an advisor at a Women's Aglo meeting, and the speaker on this particular day was a pastor from a church in Auckland somewhere. And this man got up to speak, but the first thing he did was to turn to me and say, Peter, I have a word from the Lord for you. And so he spoke out what really was an encouraging word, things that I wish had been true. And he proceeded to say that the way that the Lord spoke to him was that he saw pictures before him like on a TV screen. And he simply spoke out this word from the Lord for me as he saw these pictures on this unseen screen. Apart from the fact that the whole experience didn't witness with me, it clearly wasn't a genuine word from the Lord, even though it was couched in all the right terms, because the thing stated as being from God never eventuated. What he saw on screen is God's word for me obviously was not from God. True story, some years ago here in New Zealand, a pastor left his wife and children to be off with a church secretary. And his reason for doing so, he said, was because the Lord told him that his ministry would never flourish while he stayed with his wife. And he said that God told him that his ministry would only flourish if he was with the church secretary. Clearly he was in delusion and deception, because the Holy Spirit would never ever speak anything contrary to what the Word of God teaches. A less serious story is of a woman who drove past a bakery and asked the Lord for a car park close to the bakery. And she said that the Lord showed her that it was his will for her to buy some Chelsea buns, because on the eighth time around the car park, The Lord gave her a car park just outside the bakery, just as she had prayed. God gets blamed for things sometimes that he has never said. Now, there are 9 ways that we see in Scripture that I can see relating to how God speaks to his children, and we will look at those in a moment. And as we do that, we will see that there are some ways that God speaks to us that are more important and that carry more weight in God guiding and leading us than some of the other ways that God reveals himself and speaks to us. And some of these ways that God speaks to us should only ever confirm major or significant decisions rather than actually being the primary source for making important decisions. For example, the alignment of circumstances or the opening of doors should never be the primary indicator for making important decisions in God. And that's an important thing that I just like to spend a moment on. I feel to do so just for a moment. In hearing the voice of God, in him guiding our paths in significant or important decisions, a widely established guideline is the Three Harbor Lights teaching or principle. The Word of God, one light, the inner conviction of our hearts, second light, and circumstances, the third light. And the principle of the Three Harbor Lights is that we wait in God until all these three harbor lights align in one direction if we are making important, significant decisions. We don't proceed until all three lights are aligned in one direction. So when we have God's word to us from the scriptures, when we have his peace to move ahead with a particular decision, and when the circumstances all align, then and only then do we move ahead in what is before us. A fourth harbor light that we can also consider can be the counsel of others, the shared wisdom from others whom we trust in God. People who we trust will not tell us what we want to hear, but who will be honest with us even if they have a disquiet about something that we seem to be pursuing. So, three harbor lights. So we see 9 ways in Scripture relating to how God speaks to his children. Firstly, and most importantly, God speaks to us from his word. And very simply, if something doesn't line up with God's word, it is not God speaking, it is not God leading us, end of story. And clearly, the basic premise in biblical interpretation of Scripture, interpreting Scripture, applies when the Word of God is speaking to us. As does the premise of not taking Scripture out of context, and certainly not massaging Scripture to fit what we want Scripture to say. God's Word is truth. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And as Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as this quote says about God speaking to us from his word, this is the most clear and effective way of God's communication with his people. If you want to know how things work perfectly, you need to read the manual. The Bible is God's manual for his people. But as is the case with other manuals, we often ignore the Bible. How often do we try to do everything else but his word? We must be those who meditate on the word of God. We allow his word to speak to us. We don't use his word like a horoscope or like a promise box where we pull out scriptures or promises to suit us. It's not a matter of opening our Bibles and sticking our finger in a page and hoping that God speaks to us and then keep doing it until we finally find something that seems to be speaking. We need to be reading his word prayerfully and carefully and allowing his word to speak to us, allowing him to reveal his purposes to us and allowing his word to direct our steps. Secondly, God speaks to us through the inner voice, the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. And God speaking to us by the Holy Spirit is the outworking of a Spirit-led and a Spirit-empowered life. It's the Holy Spirit revealing the things of God to our hearts, to our spirits. Some folks speak about the promptings of the Holy Spirit, or the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit, or the witness of the Spirit, all referring to an inner agreement in our hearts. And friends, we grow and we mature and we develop our capacity to hear this inner voice, this still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. And we grow in discerning His voice from other voices, including our own, by submitting ourselves to Him and by hearing and by obeying and by practicing hearing the voice of God through the stirrings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's a very powerful gift that we have, the Holy Spirit in us and with us, to reveal the things of Christ to us. And we must be those who are listening to this still, quiet voice, open to His still, quiet voice, not simply coming before Him, as David has shared with the teaching on the Lord's Prayer, not coming with our prayer list, but actually coming also to hear what the Spirit of God might speak into our hearts as He wants to lead us and direct us. Thirdly, God speaks to us through the circumstances in our lives. And although we're not to let circumstances dictate our lives, God does speak to us through what happens in us and with us and around us. Now, as very young Christians, Sue and I heard one of our pastor's daughters decades ago share an experience with us that she had faced in God that so profoundly impacted me that years later I shared this story as if it was my own story, until Sue gently reminded me that it wasn't my story, it was someone else's. And something happened that drastically changed things in this young woman's life. And so she went to the Lord in prayer, asking Him something like, "Lord, what's this all about? What's going on here? Lord, my life was happily going along, just like a mountain stream," I think she said. "But now, Lord, it seems like this huge problem, this huge boulder has just landed in this meandering stream. So, Lord, would you please remove the boulder?" And she said that the impression that she had in her mind was of the Lord saying to her, to her great surprise, "No, I'm not going to remove the boulder. I'm not going to remove the problem because I put it there." And she said her response was, "Why would you do that, Lord? Why would you allow this to come into my happy life?" And she shared what she felt that the Lord had showed her, that the purposes that can be outworked in God when He allows things to come into the circumstances of our lives, like a boulder, a problem landing in our gentle stream, and why God Himself would place such an obstacle in our path. And firstly, she said that when something blocks a flow of water like a boulder, then the water creates a new pathway. And so there are times when circumstances in our lives that change, when something happens, they open up to us or prepare us for a change of direction, often when we're not looking for a change. Secondly, when something blocks water, the water keeps hitting the obstacle until it breaks, and then the water is able to carry on and pass through. And sometimes God uses circumstances to teach us to press on in Him, to teach us to persevere, to overcome in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, when something blocks water flowing, the water will rise up and actually pass over the top of the obstacle. And again, God sometimes uses circumstances to cause us to rise up, to cause us to grow, to mature through pressing on and perseverance, causing us to gain new heights in God, causing us to mature and to grow into deeper purposes through the very obstacles and problems that are in our way. And so, friends, God speaks to us through the circumstances of life. understanding, as Lizzie said, that nothing touches us without first passing through his hands. And again, as Lizzie said, understand that ultimately God causes all things to work together for our good, because we are those who are called of the Lord. Please understand this morning. Just because doors open for us, just because circumstances seem to line up, does not automatically mean divine approval or that we have a go ahead. It does not mean that just because a door is open before us or because circumstances seem to align, does not mean that something is of God. And if you want a scripture for that, simply read the account of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22. So listen to these important statements. Circumstances are indicators at best, not interpreters of God's will. Scripture places the interpretive authority not on events, but on scripture, wisdom, and spirit-led counsel. Open doors and aligned circumstances may be part of God's guidance, but they are never sufficient on their own. God's voice must be discerned through scripture, the Holy Spirit, and wise counsel within the body of Christ. This reflects the constant teaching of Proverbs, Psalms, and the New Testament church's practice of communal discernment. All right, moving on. God speaks to us through a flow of thoughts, through impressions that come to us, often as we are in a place of worship or of prayer, so that in that place, these thoughts come to us, impressions settle in our hearts, and we hear God in a place of worship and of prayer where our hearts are ready to receive what the Lord would say to us. Decades ago, I learned a very, very powerful lesson that I've never, ever forgotten. I was asked to pray for a man who was in his early 40s. And he told me that he had a heart condition that he was worried about. And could I pray for his heart condition, please? So, of course, I knew how to do that. I knew how to pray for the sick. So I did what I've always done. I put my hand on his shoulder and began to pray as I knew to do. After all, that's what you do when you pray for the sick. Now, partway through this very anointed prayer, this very professional prayer, I had this strong inner impression that God was saying to me, stop and listen to me. And thankfully, I did. And again, I had this impression in my heart that I was to ask this man if there was a history of heart problems in his family. He then listed all these men in his family, from his grandfather, his father, his uncles, a couple of his brothers, who had all died of heart issues in their mid-40s. And here he was, just shy of that, in his early 40s. And so, after he had shared this family history, and after I stopped to ask him, needless to say, I prayed differently for him after that. And I've tried hard ever since to be aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit. In those times when I am to pray, in those times when I am in a meeting and we are worshiping and we are praying, I've tried to allow the Lord to speak to me in a flow of thoughts or impressions ever since, to still my heart and to still my mind and to give an opportunity for the Lord to speak, especially when I've been asked to pray for people, and especially in times of worship, because that's how often God will use me in prophecy. He quickens my spirit to listen, and often when I stop and listen, there are a flow of thoughts and impressions and scriptures that I work through with him that ultimately will lead to a word of prophecy that I will speak out. And so these impressions in our hearts, these thoughts that come from God, spiritual impressions. So next, God speaks through the counsel of godly men and women. Proverbs 15:22 says that without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many advisers, they succeed. Another translation says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers, they succeed. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we see in Scripture that God often guides us through other believers. And this is important. Believers who importantly are grounded in Scripture, who are mature in character, and who are walking closely with Christ. Godly counsel from people who are grounded in Scripture, mature in character, and who are walking closely with Jesus. And the picture we see in Scripture is of interdependence, where we recognize that we are called to walk together, where we recognize that none of us have all the answers and that God has graced others with things that we don't have so that we might walk together and together see his purposes outworked. So that we see the Holy Spirit taking the divine enablings and the insights and the experiences of other members in the body and to use them for the good of others and for our good also. And so God speaks through the counsel of godly men and women so that out of and through trusted relationships, God speaks encouragement, warning, comfort, and conviction, although at other times through those same trusted relationships, God will sometimes bring a loving challenge and even a call to obedience. So understanding that God speaks to us through the counsel of godly men and women. Next, God speaks to us through the peace of God ruling as umpire in our hearts. Paul says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the meaning here is of God's peace being the arbiter or the umpire in our hearts concerning matters that we are weighing up before the Lord. The complete Jewish Bible says, let the shalom, which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. Now, how beautiful is that? Let the shalom, which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. So God will speak to us by giving us his discernible peace or a discernible disquiet in situations we face where we are needing to make decisions. And Sue and I have experienced God clearly speaking to us in this way a number of times over the years. And certainly there have been times when we have been restrained in God from supporting something or for doing something by a discernible disquiet, a dis-ease, an unease, if you like, in our hearts. Sometimes when it seems logical to do something or to support something, when naturally speaking it made sense to go ahead. At times when others were saying, yes, we agree with this. Yes, and circumstances seem to align. Yet God has given us a clear absence of peace, a discernible, a clear disquiet. Other times God has given us a discernible peace to make a decision or to proceed with something that naturally or logically, according to worldly wisdom, didn't seem to be that great an idea after all. Yet God gave us a discernible peace to go ahead. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the shalom, which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. And again, that's something that we learn to grow in as we put that into practice, as we come before the Lord and ask him, Lord, do you have, is this the right way to go? Give me a peace or a lack of peace and see what the Lord will do. But it comes from practice and by allowing the Lord to speak to us in this way. All right, moving on, we see in Scripture where God did speak to people in an audible voice. a voice that was heard with natural ears. Now, please bear in mind, though, that there are scriptures that refer to hearing God speak, but that is not necessarily referring to God speaking in an audible voice or hearing with our natural ears. For example, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, we have this promise from God to his people Israel, where God says, "Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left." So does that mean that God will audibly speak to us in our ears if we turn to the left or to the right? The context, including verse 20, is of God promising wayward Israel restoration, teaching, and guidance once they returned to him and when they had ceased relying upon themselves and their own wisdom. Verse 20, God says, "Your teachers will not be hidden anymore. Your eyes will see your teachers." And then in verse 21, "Your ears will hear a word behind you." So let me quote a couple of commentaries which I think help with this principle that I'm trying to outline here. Eliot's commentary says this: "The word behind you refers to the inner confirming voice that echoes what God's teachers proclaim outwardly. It's speaking about guidance that becomes internalized and personally applied." Albert Barnes described this voice behind us as an invisible guide, often identified with conscience or providence or the spirit of God recalling a person when they begin to stray from the right path. And Isaiah is a book full of imagery, and so the imagery portrayed here comes from everyday life. A teacher walking behind a student correcting their steps, or a shepherd guiding sheep, calling them back when they wander. And so the imagery is not of God actually coming and speaking to our ears, but just God speaking to us if we would turn to the left or to the right. My point is, and please hear this morning, hearing God speak in an audible voice is a very rare experience. When Scripture says God spoke and said, it is not always God speaking audibly. And certainly when people state, "God told me" or "God said to me," I would suggest that 999,999 times out of a million, God has not spoken in an audible voice. God has spoken in some other ways, perhaps. However, God is sovereign. He is omnipotent. And if he chooses to do so, he is able to speak to us audibly into our ears, if you like, if he chooses to do so. God does speak in an audible voice, although it is a rare occurrence. Then we have God speaking to his people through an angelic visitation. And again, we see that all through Scripture. But please note that Scripture specifically refers to an angel from the Lord, specifying that it is an angel of the Lord or from the Lord, as distinct from an angel that is not from God. And in speaking about false apostles and false prophets, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, he says in verse 13 that false prophets and false apostles disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. Then he says in verses 14 and 15, no wonder, or it's not surprising that they disguise themselves as apostles of Christ, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if Satan's servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So again, God is sovereign. He is able to send an angel of the Lord to speak to his sons and his daughters. However, we're not to go looking for such mystical experiences or encounters. And certainly everything, including angelic visitations, needs to be carefully discerned against the plumb line of God's word. And certainly in recent times, in those parts of the church that have been labeled charismania rather than charismatic, in recent times we have seen manifestations of angels which really are angels masquerading as angels of light. And they speak falsehood and error, and they have false manifestations that bring confusion and error, not truth that lines up with God's word. But again, God does speak to his people through angels, through angelic visitations, if he chooses to do so. Lastly, God speaks to his children through dreams and visions. And we often quote Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 18 regarding these last days, where God promises that our young people shall see visions and our old men shall dream dreams. God speaks to his children through dreams and visions. And we see clear examples of this all through Scripture. And I think it's true to say that many people today have had genuine Holy Spirit-inspired dreams and visions, where God has shown them or has revealed to them significant things according to his plans and his purposes, things that line up with his word. When the Lord first birthed Jesus first in the very early days, and my wife Sue, who is not given to dreams and visions, she's not mystical like some people who seem to have countless dreams and visions. Sue had this very clear dream very early on about a coming wave of the Holy Spirit. It was very vivid, and she clearly remembered it in the morning, and she was able to relate it very clearly, very profoundly. The Sunday after this, I shared this dream with the congregation, and I think I'm right in saying that either four or five people attending that Sunday had a very similar dream that exact same week. And several others spoke to me afterwards saying that they'd had a similar dream sometime previously. And on top of that, and this is before our services were ever put online, on the Monday after that Sunday where I shared this with the congregation, a man I didn't know phoned me from Dunedin, I think it was. And he said that he believed that the Lord wanted him to share a dream that God had just given him. And I don't know how he knew that it was me that he needed to speak with, or how he got my number. But the very next day after I had shared Sue's vision, Sue's dream in church, and several other people had shared the same thing with us, this man then proceeded to tell me his dream, and it very much aligned with what Sue had dreamt and with what others had shared about the dreams that God had given them. And so God does speak to us in dreams and visions. But we must practice biblical discernment, and again, everything must align with God's word. Because we can have dreams and visions that come from our own imagination. Some call them pizza dreams, vivid pictures that we see in our sleep that are the fruit of our imaginations or the consequence of rich foods. Or worse, we can have dreams and visions that are found in the domain of darkness, not from the kingdom of light. And so we need to, again, to weigh things up against the plumb line of Scripture. But be those who expect that in these last days our young men will dream dreams and our older men will have visions, that God will speak to us in the ways that I have outlined this morning. So friends, let me conclude this morning by saying that I believe that God wants to speak to all of us, each of us, much more than we are ready to listen. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me more than we are ready to listen to him. You see, Scripture repeatedly portrays God as a speaking God, as the one who initiates communication with mankind. And mankind are usually portrayed as slow, distracted, resistant, even unwilling listeners. To put that another way, Scripture consistently emphasizes God's willingness and his initiative and speaking with his creation, while Scripture consistently emphasizes, firstly, our responsibility to listen, but actually also our struggle to listen, to actually listen to God. We see this, for example, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, where God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." What a promise! Call to me, and I will answer you. Psalm 85, verse 8, where the psalmist says of God, "He will speak peace to his people, to his saints." In Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And so, a God who wants to communicate with his children. But then we see our struggles and our issues with listening in these scriptures. For example, Psalm 81:11, where God says, "But my people did not listen to my voice." And then Proverbs 1:24, where God says, "I have called you, and you refused to listen." And I pray that we would not be like that. So in conclusion this morning, can we make a decision? Can we decide today that we believe, that I believe, that you believe, that God wants to speak to you and I? Can we decide this morning that each of us, you and I, each of us can hear God speak to us in the ways that I've discussed this morning? Can we decide and choose this morning that actually we do want to hear God speak? We do want to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us in this last hour. We do want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And we do want to be those who hear his voice and who obey his word to us. Make that choice this morning. I want to hear you, Lord. I'm ready to hear. I believe you can speak. I believe I can hear. And I want to hear your voice. Now, next week, we will look at how we position ourselves to hear God speak to us, ways that we can be in that place to hear his voice. We will look also at how we actually deal with his word to us, especially in how we share that with others, including how we speak God's word out in prophecy. And also, I want to spend a moment looking at Bible translations so we understand the different translations and how some are good for hearing the word of God to us and some aren't. And so that's something to look forward to next week. The Lord bless you wherever you are. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May you know his shalom, and may you hear his voice in this last hour, in the precious name of Jesus and for his glory.